I Good evening, all. Our call to worship this evening is taken from Psalm 62 and verses 5 and 6. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. We take up that Psalm 62 as our first psalm of worship this evening and singing the verses 1 through 6. Notice in these words as we sing them, if we pay attention to what we sing, singing with the spirit and singing with the understanding, that we see here a great dependence upon God, that we confess that it's in him alone that not only our salvation comes from, but in fact all of our strength and all of our hope and all of our confidence is found in him alone. And that has relevance for us this evening as we continue with our series on discipleship, and particularly what the Lord teaches his disciples as what we might see is the very last lesson of his earthly ministry. Let's then take up Psalm 62, singing 1 through 6, and before we sing, let's stand and seek God's blessing on our worship service. Our most wondrous and merciful God, we thank you for the evening hour of the Sabbath day. As the cool of the evening sets in, we are reminded of that truth of your fellowship and communion with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the garden, and that here on the Sabbath day, on the day of rest, that day in which you particularly draw near unto your people, we thank you that on this evening we come into your presence, that we say to our souls, oh, our soul, our expectation is from you, O Lord, that we depend for our salvation and our strength upon you alone. We pray, Lord, draw near to us by your Spirit, in your grace, in your mercy. We pray as Jehovah God, our covenant God, that you might bless us with all the riches of Christ Jesus. And particularly in and through this worship service, we know that this worship is for your name, to set forth your glory. Yet we also plead the promises that you have made to draw near to your people, that as we cry out unto you, that we may look up and expect that answer, you speaking to us through your word. We pray, Lord, accept of our worship, therefore, in Christ Jesus, and in him and through him, we pray, meet with us, your people, not only here in this place, but in every place where people call upon you in spirit and in truth. May you bless your church. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
My soul with expectation depends on God indeed, my strength and my salvation doth from Him alone proceed. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is He. He only is my sure defense, much moved I shall not be. How long will He against a man long mischief He shall hold? He slain He as a tottering fence shall be and bowing wall. They only thought to cast Him down from His excellency. They joy in lies, with mouth they bless, but they curse inwardly. My soul wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On Him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is He. He only is my sure defense, I shall not move.
Our first reading for this evening is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read together the first 11 verses. Notice particularly in this chapter that Paul, as he writes to the Thessalonians, he is encouraging them and us also not to sleep. And of course, it's not referring to physical sleep. It's referring to that being sleepy and dozy in our Christian life and not being alert and being about, being vigilant as we ought to be. And that we are therefore of the day, and the Lord has appointed us to obtain salvation, and that we should therefore live together with Christ in that very active and vibrant way. And this ties in with what we see that the Lord Jesus was encouraging His disciples to do, which is to watch and pray. That in mind, let's read this part of God's inspired word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. May God bless to us the spiritual discerning of his truth read to us. Let's sing again, this time from Psalm number 5. Psalm 5, and we will sing the verses 1 through 7. And then verses 11 and 12. So the first 7 verses and then the last 2, 11 and 12. Notice with me verse 3. Lord, thou shalt early hear my voice. I early, and the idea of early is not necessarily, you know, early in the morning and so on, but it means that we will do this constantly and continually and quickly. We will lift up our voice to the Lord. I early will direct my prayer to thee, and looking up, an answer will expect. Once again, there's that idea of an expectation and an eagerly looking for and watching for the Lord and for his blessing of us. Let's sing these words, Psalm 5, 1 through 7, 11 through 12. Remain seated to sing.
Give ear unto my words, O Lord, my meditation way. Hear my loud cry, my King, my God, for I to thee will pray. Lord, thou shalt early hear my voice, I early will direct my prayer to thee, and looking up an answer will expect. Favor.
Let's worship God together now in congregational prayer. Let's stand to pray. Jehovah God, the God of our salvation, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we glorify you particularly for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, Lord, we stand already in this life, though we do not yet have as clear an understanding as we ought to have. We yet are so much affected by that sin and corruption that still clings to us, yet already we see the beauty of the Lamb of God, that one who deserves all honor and praise, as we read about in Revelation, that one before whom all fall down and worship and praise and cast their crowns before him and acknowledge that all glory and honor and praise and adoration is due to him alone. He is, we confess, our all in all. Though we do not show that so much so often in our lives, we have so much of our lives distracted and taken aside from him, and we believe and start to even live in the way that says that there are so many other things that are far more important than our Lord, our King, our God, our Savior. And he starts to disappear from our view. And we pray, Lord, that you may forgive us for such things, that this is a form of idolatry. And we know that, indeed, the heart of man is a factory of idols, and we do not cease from producing them, and particularly that idol of self. How quickly we worship ourselves and we fall down and do everything for ourselves rather than worshiping you, the living God and our Savior, and doing all in our life for you and to you, even as we love you and love our neighbor, which is that full calling of your wondrous law. We pray that you may enlighten us more and more in the truth and the beauty of our Savior, that we may know him more and more, know about him, know the truth concerning him that's found in all of your scripture, that we may delve into the treasure house that is the word of God given into our hands, that we may delight in that word, that we may study it. But Lord, not just to in that way know about him and to know more facts about the glory of our Savior, but especially that we may know him in that living fellowship and communion, that we may know him in love, that we may know even as we are known, and that knowledge that you have of us, that it may work in us by your Spirit and your grace more and more light of having that true communion and fellowship with Christ, having been united to him by faith. We pray, Lord, that we may have more and more have that communion with him in a real and a living way. In that regard, we pray, stir us up, draw us out of the sleepiness that we so often find ourselves in. We pray that we may heed the exhortation that we have already read in Thessalonians, that we may not sleep, we who are of the day, we who have had our eyes open and behold the light, that we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and that instead of loving darkness rather than light, now we love the light. We desire, therefore, help us to be children of the light, and that we may have a heart that desires to walk more and more in the Spirit, even as we have been saved in the Spirit. We do pray that you may be with us, not only as individuals and as families, but as a congregation. We do desire that you would continue to bless these times that we are having together, as we had today, those forums in which we are able to discuss beautiful truths of your word, truths that in different ways have been maligned amongst us. And we pray that through these means we may not only grasp a hold of that which we already know, but that we may be growing in those truths. Every one of us may learn more of the beauty of your word and what you have to say in those areas. We pray not only for ourselves, but we pray for those around about us. We know that we live in the world which is so caught up in darkness and is under the power of the prince of the air. And we pray that we may have a concern for all, even as your word says to pray for kings. In that regard, we pray this night for the royal family. In the death of Prince Philip, we know not his exact state before you, Lord. We commit that solely into your care. But we know that at these times that people are brought to consider the reality of death, the reality that one day every man and woman must face that departure from this life and to go to stand before you. And we pray that if it be your will that the royal family, the monarchy, that it may give consideration to these things, that there may not just simply be a false comfort, but that they may be brought to the truth of your word and of the only way of salvation, and that you might have mercy upon them and bring them to the only place of comfort. We do pray, Lord, for we know that in many ways, as we look at that family, they are caught up in worldliness and following the ways of the world. We pray, have mercy upon them. Not only for that monarchy, Lord, we pray for our government as it is closer to home, in our federal government. We pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. We know that he gives a profession of faith, and we pray that if that indeed be a real faith, strengthen him in your truth and cause him to be growing in your truth, and that by that faith he may make decisions and lead in a way that is truly godly. Lord, if it is not that he has a true faith, that you would bring him to that. And we pray for the rest of our government likewise. Turn them from evil ways and turn them unto the good ways of the Lord, that they may first of all have salvation, but then also, if that be not your will, at least that you may so lay hold upon our government that good and right laws may be made that are according to your righteousness and truth. We pray likewise for state governments, for local governments. We pray for our judiciature in the judges and the police force. We pray for all that are in authority over us, that you may lead them into truth and away from the darkness which increasingly seems to be engulfing our nation. To that end, we pray for ourselves, Lord, that we may be witnesses for the truth. May we not just be sleepy in this matter also, but have a real concern and love for our neighbour, for those in government, for those who are ordinary citizens. May we be concerned and real citizens of Australia, so that we may speak up about the truth of Christ, the only hope for our nation, for it is grace alone that can make a difference. And therefore we pray, make us to be good citizens of the kingdom of heaven. For in this way we will be the very best citizens of the nation of Australia. We pray, make us to be disciples. We desire to be better disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Open your word to us now, that we may hear more of that and encourage us in our faith. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we will take our reading from verse 26 and reading through verse 46 of this chapter. This is taken from the night of Jesus' betrayal and the events that happened there. Our text is taken from the verses 40 and 41. As I mentioned earlier, that in a way this is the very last lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to his disciples right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he gives it to them as instruction as disciples and what they are to do before he is taken from them. There was further teaching and instruction once he had risen again, but this is the very last, as it were, of his earthly ministry amongst them. Let's read together then, Matthew chapter 26, reading from verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me." And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Amen. Thus far we read in God's holy and inspired word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been in this brief series looking at discipleship and what it is to be a disciple, that a disciple is a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ. We as Christians are therefore all disciples of Jesus, and we remain disciples all of our life. In different ways, we can be tempted, can't we, by Satan himself and by our own pride to think that we've basically got there. Well, I'm a disciple, I've been saved, and therefore I've arrived. Oh yes, I still need to learn a few things here and there, but basically I'm there as a disciple. A But as Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. And if Paul, the apostle, would say, I haven't got there yet, then surely that's very much the same for you and I. That's what it is to be a disciple, a learner and a follower. It's to always humbly be going forward, desiring to grow and to learn because we lack so much. But a disciple is also a dependent learner and follower. In other words, he's not a disciple that's saying, okay, I now know and I can myself go forward, as it were. I know how to learn and I know how to do this. No, not at all. Having been given faith, we believe in Christ and we have life in him. But that leads us, in fact, to understand I'm weak and I'm feeble. That I am prone to fall away in temptation and pride. I'm so prone to misunderstand and to sin against my Savior. And therefore that leads me to a greater dependence upon him. That we will be pressing forward, growing and learning as disciples, but constantly reaching out and embracing Christ because we need him constantly for strength and grace. And our text this evening particularly looks at that truth. That we are dependent learners, followers, disciples of Christ, and that we need him so much. What's the context of what we look at in verses 40 and 41? Well, as we read, Jesus in this evening of his betrayal has given his supper to his disciples, and then they sing a hymn and they head out of the upper room and they're heading for the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. On the way, Jesus reveals to them, to his disciples, he says to them, all of you, every one of you this night will be offended because of me, and you'll scatter, you'll leave me. And Peter, particularly, he says, no way in the world. That's not going to happen. He says, even if I die, I'll never deny you, I'll never... And even though he's warned, he persists in this idea. But it's not just Peter, it's all of the disciples. They say, nope, we will be with you to the end. We will die with you. When they come to the garden, Jesus enters into that time of intense prayer to his heavenly Father in preparation for what's coming. And he asks his disciples to watch with him, particularly Peter and James and John. He says, watch and pray. And Jesus goes away. He comes back a short time later and he finds them not watching and praying with him, but he finds them sound asleep. And he needs to wake them up and remind them again, watch and pray. But still, he finds them asleep again. This event is recorded for our learning, and particularly what Jesus says here to his disciples. In fact, he doesn't just say to these men, he says to all of his disciples, watch and pray. And it's so important, in fact, for all of our life. And as I've already said a couple of times, this is the, as it were, the very last lesson and particular thing that Jesus says to his disciples before he's taken off for that being betrayed and arrested and sent to be crucified the very next morning. Let's examine then the teaching of our Savior here under that theme. A disciple is to watch and pray. Let's look at first of all what this means, secondly why it's necessary, and what blessing that it brings to us. A disciple is to watch and pray. As we've already seen, as it's emphasized for us in this passage, the disciples begin this evening full of confidence. But sadly, it's full of confidence in themselves. As Peter said, as the other disciples said, we're not ever going to leave you. We're going to be with you. But they're saying this in their own strength. Now, we remember these men were saved and they loved Jesus. But they had so much to learn. They had so much to learn about themselves. And they had to learn here a very hard lesson that every one of them would learn. And this is a lesson that we need to learn as well. Jesus says to them here, as he brings them to the garden after they've expressed this, you know, great confidence in themselves. He brings them to the garden and he goes to pray. And he says to them, watch with me. So verse 38, first of all, that's the first time he says it to them, watch with me, as well as then that same word that's repeated in verse 40 and 41 of our text, watch. What is it to watch? This word watch, it means to be alert. It means to be very vigilant, wide awake, and carefully looking at everything that is around about us. So you're not sort of, you know, looking down here, but you're in fact constantly watchful for all that is going on. It's to be ready to respond at a moment's notice to anything that happens. It's very much like a soldier on guard during a time of war, where there's a real possibility the enemy may be coming. And therefore he is on high alert, watchful, vigilant, looking for what is happening. Of course, that's the exact opposite, isn't it? Someone who's sleepy and nodding off, or actually asleep, like the disciples were here. These words of Jesus are for us too. As I said, it's for all disciples. Jesus says, watch with me. He says to you and me this evening, watch with me. Be careful and vigilant. Be alert and awake. I am with you. Watch with me, he says. I am with you, teaching you. I am teaching you every day because I am the prophet, and I come and I bring my word, and by my spirit through your own reading and through the preaching of the word, I'm speaking to you. Are you hearing me? This is exceedingly important that you know this and that you are to watch with me. Remember the disciples? He'd been teaching them right up until this point. He'd been telling them, we must go to Jerusalem, and there the Son of Man, he'll be betrayed, and he'll be arrested, and he'll be put to death. And Jesus had not spoken that just once to them. He'd said that several times to them. He'd been teaching them. Had they been awake and alert and listening to this and taking it to heart? No. The disciples didn't hear or heed these things. And in fact, when that happened, exactly what Jesus had said, they were incredibly upset. They were confused. They were dismayed. They're going, what's going on here? But Jesus had told them. In all of our life, Jesus is bringing us teaching, instruction, warning, comfort, admonition, all of these things. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, and that's the same word that's used here, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Notice, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and that there is talking about all of the truth of God's word, all the truth that Jesus, as our prophet, brings to us and is teaching us. Is this us? Are we every day alert and vigilant and watchful so that we're taking up the word and we're drinking it in so that we understand? What is it that Jesus wants me to hear today? And am I vigilant and alert for the very necessary word that's for my soul today? Are we trusting him and growing in this way? Or could it be that we're not really listening? That we get up each day and go, well, what are all the things that I've got to do today? And let's be about this and let's be about that. And the word of Christ is in the background and we're not really hearing it at all. Sleepy, as it were. And then perhaps, as all the pressures of life come upon us, we are dismayed and confused about what's going on and cast down about what God is doing in our life. Brethren, watch. Watch. Be alert for all that your Master and Savior is leading you to. Can you imagine how different it would have been for these disciples if they had been watching and being alert for all that Jesus was truly teaching them? But it's not just alert for what Jesus is teaching, the truth that's being brought. As I've already mentioned, this is a bit like a soldier in an army, and therefore we're to be alert for the enemy. We need to be watching for the attacks that come. That's what it is to be vigilant too. How quickly is it that we fall into temptation when difficulties arise? And so often, that's because we're not watching. We're not alert when we ought to have been to see the things that are coming. We need to watch out for that great enemy, Satan. He knows how much we like to be put to sleep. He knows how much we value our rest time and nodding off and not being alert. He wants to turn us aside from a faithful, vigilant, joyful watching in Christ's truth. He wants you to be sidetracked. And he doesn't care what you get sidetracked into. He doesn't care where you take up all your attention as long as it's not upon Christ. As long as it's not alertly watching with him. He wants to make us think that real life, real excitement is to be found in our abilities, in what we're doing, in our possessions, in our relationships, in our attainments, in our experiences, all sorts of things. But not watching with Christ. Do you see your enemies? Do you really see them? Can you identify them? Can you, in your life, because right now you can be assured that they're all there, would you be able to enumerate them and say, yeah, these are the things that I'm battling with. These are the things that I'm engaged with. This and that and that and that. And these are the things that by God's grace and any strength that I am really putting in the warfare against. Are we watchful and alert? But Jesus does not only say watch, he also says pray, doesn't he? Watch and pray. This word pray here is the most general word for prayer. It's the word that is used in the scripture so that it encompasses all the different types of prayer. So this isn't a supplication. He's not specifically instructing us, pray about this matter. Pray, you know, that you would be watchful, as it were. But rather, it's a call here for his disciples to be in all the different aspects of prayer. To praise God in our prayer for his goodness to us. To open up our heart to our Savior and express what is really there with our struggles and the difficulties that we experience and the hurts that are there. To express our fears to the Lord. It's to express our delights. To give thanks for wonderful blessings that have come to us. It's to thank him and adore him. And of course, it also means to bring our requests to him, our supplications to him. All of those things that are encompassed in our prayer life. Jesus instructs his disciples and us as disciples to be much in this kind of prayer. Let me point something out to you. These disciples, on this evening, being there in the Garden of Gethsemane, where were they in history? Have a think about that. The very next day, on that cross at Golgotha, was about to happen the most important matter in the whole history of the world. There is no more important thing that happened in this world than when Jesus Christ was strung up between heaven and earth and Almighty God poured out his wrath upon him for all of his people and he executed that which was their salvation. That's the central point in history. And it's about to happen the very next day. What were the disciples doing? Do you see? Now, what about you? What about me? What's coming for us tomorrow? Do you know? Do I know? No. Are we in prayer? Are we seeking the Lord? We don't know what's coming. It may be that the most momentous thing in your life is going to happen tomorrow. Are you walking close to the Savior? Are you in prayer to Him? So that you may have His grace and His strength to face whatever is going to come for your life tomorrow. That's the purpose of prayer. Because we have no strength and we have no ability in ourselves. Yes, prayer is for glorifying God, for worshiping Him, for praising and thanking Him. But do you know prayer is a gift of God that has been given to every one of His people so that they may draw near to Him. We are to render unto God thanks and praise in those ways. But you know who it is that really receives in prayer? It's us. God doesn't need our prayers. He's not in need of anything. He is God. And He has given prayer and He communes with His people that He might give unto them everything that they need. And He says, come to Me. Jesus says, watch and pray. Pray. We come as weak and unable sinners, and we come to a great and omnipotent and all-glorious God who is willing and able to help us in every way. Christ says to us here, go to God in prayer. You need this every hour of every day. Rest in Him and seek from Him the grace and strength that you need. And that really brings us to look at why this watching and praying is necessary. Why is this necessary? Well, Jesus gives a reason here for His exhortation to us to watch and pray. He says in verse 41, watch and pray that, or if you like, in order that, you enter not into temptation. Here is the first reason why it's necessary, that we avoid entering into temptation. Notice it's not to avoid any temptation coming your way. Temptations will come your way every single day. But it's in order that you enter not into temptation. Now God, one of the beautiful truths of biblical reformed faith is to confess God is sovereign. And it's such a comfort for us. A wondrous comfort. But here's another thing about the sovereignty of God. His wondrous sovereign work has saved us, hasn't it? It's laid a hold upon every one of His elect people, and it unfailingly calls them out of darkness and into light, washes them in the blood of Christ, and makes us alive. And then our Heavenly Father, because He loves us in Christ Jesus, He is working in us to draw us out of the darkness of that corruption that's still there and bring us more and more into the light. Those things that we thank Him for and delight in, and the things that we look forward to and enjoy. But it also includes the great trials, the really hard things that come. Even the things that are temptations to us are perfectly ordained by our sovereign God, and it's part of His working. The blessings and the trials are both designed to exercise our faith. So that we are to be watching and watching His Word and drinking in the truth of God's Word, and we're to be watching and seeing all the ways in which God sends blessings and trials to us. The question is, as those things come, what state are we in? Are we asleep in our Christian lives, like the disciples here? Or are we alert and watching and praying? You see, if we are, as God sends the blessings and the trials, including temptations to us, and we are alert, then we will be going, huh, I see God's Word and His truth as He brings it to me by His Spirit. And I'm taking that to heart, and I'm growing in the truth, and I'm loving Christ more and more. And then I see that this experience, this beautiful blessing, or this really hard trial and temptation as it impacts upon me, it's brought by God. And that in order that I may increase in my faith and grow more lively and be glad in Him and be brought to glorify His name and show forth His grace and His strength as He sends these things to me. But what happens if we're not alert? What happens if we're not watching? What happens if we're not praying? What then? Well, see, then it's so easy to simply enter into temptation without even knowing it, without even realizing it. Do you think Peter, that night, the early hours of next morning, do you think he sort of sat there and thought, you know, I think I've changed my mind. I think I'll deny my Savior. Or did he just enter into it and enter into it more and more and more until suddenly he realized when the cock crew and the Lord turned and looked at him. And all of a sudden, he realized where he was. You see, this is God's purpose. It was the Lord Jesus' purpose with his disciples here. They were sleepy. But they weren't just sleepy physically, as we read about here. They certainly were that. But there's a picture to us that's given because they were sleepy spiritually. They were standing in their own confidence and saying, oh, we're all right. We're strong and we will never deny you. We will never be scattered like you say we will be. We're not listening to what you're really telling us. They'd grown comfortable, you see, with just having the Savior around. And, oh, Jesus takes care of everything. And they were not willing to listen to what he'd been plainly teaching them. Suddenly their world is turned upside down. Judas comes, Jesus is arrested and taken off to be crucified, and they run away and they desert and they betray him because they were sleepy in their sins. God will so order our lives to prove us, to test us, and it will show up where we are. He's not doing that to be mean to us or to be nasty to us. Not at all. What he's doing is he knows when we are watching and praying with him. And he will send those things in order to strengthen our faith and to be glad in him and to be growing through those trials and through those blessings. But he also sends them when we're sleepy. And then what happens? Then we slide into temptation. And we find ourselves getting grumpy and annoyed, and how can I possibly thrive when all of these things are coming upon me? It's not fair. As Jacob said, all these things are against me. Where have you gone, disciple? And that makes us flee back to Christ. Like we were seeing this morning, all sins shall be forgiven in him. To seek forgiveness in him, and then as we've fallen in such a way to make us doubly sure, oh, how much I need to be watching and praying. Here's why it's necessary. But there's a further reason. It's because, as Jesus says here, our flesh is weak. When God comes to us and makes us alive as his disciples and convicts us of our sin in him, reveals us to us the beauty of Christ and the way of salvation, and enables us, makes us willing and able to embrace Christ, then we love Christ. We do, don't we? With our heart, with our soul, we love him. We have a new heart. The cold, stony heart is gone. And with spiritual eyes, we see the glory of Christ and we desire to serve him. The Spirit is willing, as Jesus says here. The disciples knew of that. You see, really, that's the reason why they said that to Christ in verse 35. Though I should die with you, I will never deny you. It's true that in their heart they loved him. And they wished for that to be so. The Spirit was indeed willing. They didn't say it flippantly. They really meant it when they said such things. And that's true. It's true for us too. There are occasions, aren't there, in the Christian life where the Lord leads us into such truth that our heart burns within us. And we see the truth and we're so stirred up in our Christian love for what God has done for us that we feel like we couldn't possibly love him any more ardently. And as it were, we could never do anything against him in those times. And yet, how quickly does that fade? Weak creatures that we are. The Spirit is willing, but the problem is the flesh is weak. There's the real problem. we have that new heart, we're new creatures in Christ, but we've still got that old man of sin, and that's really us too. There's that corruption that still clings to us. And that was true for the disciples also. Right after their fervent declaration, where do we find them? They're asleep. And Christ says to them, you notice those words? What? What? Could you not even watch with me 1 hour? Do you see what he's saying? He's drawing them back to their declaration. What? Weren't you the disciples that just a short while ago said that you would be so with me that you would even die for me, and you can't even watch for me 1 hour? Isn't this us? If you're anything like me, brethren, how many times have you come before the Lord and said to him, oh Lord, forgive me for this sin. I hate it. I grieve over it. Lord, when we say to ourselves, I'm not going to do this again. And we get up from our prayers and as it were, we walk straight out and do it again. Do we not find that? Or perhaps it is that we come to worship like tonight. We come to worship God who has done all things for us in Christ Jesus. And he calls us here, doesn't he? He says, come and watch and pray with me for 1 hour. And next thing you know, we're off wandering, thinking about all sorts of things, or we're finally nodding off and the eyes are closing. Watch with me 1 hour. Jesus says to us, you're a disciple. And you see his compassion here, don't you? He knows us. He knows that we are dust. He says, you're a disciple and your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you cannot do the least thing except by watchfulness and prayer you seek it from me every day. Every day we need Christ's grace and strength. We need grace to have our eyes, as it were, watchful and alert and to see things in a right and biblical light. We need prayer every day, all day. And Christ's grace and strength to respond to what God is bringing us in his truth and through his truth to serve God and neighbor. Absolutely necessary to watch and pray. What are the blessings that it brings? As disciples who are living in the light of God's word and close by our Savior, what do we see? Well, the closer we stand to Christ in his righteousness, his perfection, his beauty, what do we tend to see in the light of that? As we seek to walk close to him, what do we see more and more? We tend to see all of our failures. We tend to see more and more our sins and the failures and offenses. And as Paul says, the evil that I know I shouldn't do, that's what I do. And the good that I desire to do because my spirit is willing, I don't do. I fail to do it. And that can have the effect of discouraging us. But you see, here's where the blessing comes of watching and praying. It's not just simply to observe who we are as weak and failing sinners in the light of Christ. As we watch and we receive all the beautiful truth of Christ, as we're drinking that in, and as we're praying fervently to him and laying hold upon him, then what we do is we learn to see him more. Yes, we don't stop seeing ourselves, but you see, the focus ought not to be us. Life is not all about us. It's actually all about God and all about our Lord and Savior. And that's what we ought to be seeing. Instead of the very real and constant failures being before our face, we see the glory of the perfect work of Christ, who has washed us clean and forgiven us. We see the truth of the gospel, which is able to meet us in every situation. And that therefore we learn to take more and more steps. Yep, stumbling steps and failing steps, but we're walking forward in him. And that's what we see, the glory of his work rather than the failures that are very real every day. We more and more lay hold upon his strength and grace that works in broken sinners like us. And we rejoice and we praise him and we pray even more fervently. Lord, look at what you are doing. Look at your beauty. Look at the fact that my sins are washed clean. And we desire to know him and walk with him more. This is the blessing. Furthermore, we actually start to change in the way in which we see life. Do we face hardships? Do we face difficulties in life? Yeah, we do. But watch and pray. What do we begin to understand? I have a Savior who loves me, who's working all things for my good. And even the hard things, the difficulties and all those things are actually sent by him that I might walk with him more. Every one of them. That I might flourish. So that instead of seeing troubles and problems and, oh, how can I possibly, we start going, thank you, Lord, for all that you are sending. And that this is for the purpose, hard though it may be, for me to walk with you more and to cling to you tighter and to trust in you and all that you are doing. We are seeing then that our God is working indeed all things for our good, drawing us closer to him and closer to that life that we'll have with him in eternity, and we will thank him for that. So we begin, you see, through this way to see Christ more and more clearly in his truth and in our lives. But secondly, we'll be growing in him too. Growing in his grace and in his strength. Can you see that this text, it plainly sets before us that the neglect of watching and praying will result in entering into temptation. It will result in an inability to see. There'll be a slothfulness and the closing of our eyes and not being alert and so forth. But the opposite is implied. Hear the instruction of your Heavenly Father to watch and pray. Heed that, and you can be certain, therefore, of strength. Not yours, for we have no strength in and of ourselves, but the strength of Christ, given by his grace and spirit as he works through the word and he works through the means of grace in prayer. Lay hold upon the gospel and upon the word each day. Watchfully be praying and in the light of his word and through the means of grace being instant in prayer, there will be an unfailing strength. Even more, we may know of a true peace and a joy in our heart, even in the face of all sorts of troubles around us, even in the face of persecution. Once again, that peace and that joy will not be because of us, because what have I done? I look at what I've done and I don't really want to look at that. It will be because we more and more take our eyes from ourselves and we set it upon the Savior. That peace will not be because of the things that even others are doing, either well towards us or against us, because those things are immaterial, because whether they're doing things well for us or they're doing things against us, God's at work. And it's his purpose in that, in order to have me flourish in my Christian life. We begin to see very, very clearly the outworking of a loving God in our life. And that brings a joy, a thankfulness, a peace that no matter what happens, God's at work. As I watch and pray, the reality of God's salvation through everything that he is doing. This is what we are to desire, isn't it? Every one of us. And to pray this with and for each other, that we might have that spiritual blessing of understanding what Jesus teaches to every one of his disciples here in this word tonight, and to actually practically be living it out in everyday life. Heed the message of Jesus, the wonderful teacher, the wonderful Savior, as he says to his disciples, to you and me, watch and pray. Amen. Let's stand to pray. our God, our Savior, our King. We thank you for these words of admonition, and we confess how much we need to hear them. We pray, bless these things to our hearts, not just to our ears, not just to our minds, but truly to our hearts, that we might learn to indeed watch and pray more and more as we walk on as your disciples. Accept of our praise, Lord, hear this our supplication in Christ's name. Amen. Our final psalm is psalm number 65. Psalm 65, and we will sing together the first five verses of the psalm. Notice with me verse 5. O God of our salvation, thou in thy righteousness, by fearful works, unto our prayers thine answer dost express. Therefore, the ends of all the earth, and those afar that be upon the sea, their confidence, O Lord, will place in thee. Here is our watching, our looking unto the Lord, placing our confidence in him, and therefore expression of our prayers and praying unto him, being assured of the answer of them. Let's praise God, confess these truths in this psalm, and we'll close then with the benediction.
Praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord, to thee vows faith shall be. O thou that hearer of prayer, all flesh shall come to thee. Iniquities I must confront, transgressions then purge away shalt thou. Blessed is the man whom thou dost choose, and makes approach to thee, that he within thy courts, O Lord, may still a dweller be. We surely shall be satisfied with thy abundant grace, and with the goodness of thy house, seemed on thy holy place. O God of our salvation, thou in thy righteousness, thy fearful works unto our prayers, thine answer dost express. Therefore the ends of all the earth, and those afar that be, upon the sea their confidence, O Lord, will place in thee.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.